Of the Valar. The great among these spirits, the elves name the Valar, the powers of Arda, and men have often called them gods. The lords of the Valar are seven, and the Valia, the queens of the Valar, are seven also. These were the names in the elvish tongue as it was spoken in Valinor, though they have other names in the speech of the elves in Middle-earth, and their names among men are manifold. The names of the lords in due order are Manwë, Ulmo, Aule, Orome, Mandos, Lorien, and Tulkas. And the names of the queens are Varda, Yavanna, Nienna, Este, Vaire, Vana, and Nessa. Melkor is counted no longer among the Valar, and his name is not spoken upon earth. Manwë and Melkor were brethren in the thought of Ilúvatar. The mightiest of those Ainur who came into the world was in his beginning Melkor, but Manwë is dearest to Ilúvatar and understands most clearly his purposes. He was appointed to be, in the fullness of time, the first of all kings, lord of the realm of Arda, and ruler of all that dwell therein. In Arda his delight is in the winds and the clouds, and in all the regions of the air, from the heights to the depths, from the utmost borders of the vale of Arda, to the breezes that blow in the grass. Sulimo he is surnamed, lord of the breath of Arda. All swift birds, strong of wing, he loves, and they come and go at his bidding. With Manwë dwells Varda, lady of the stars, who knows all the regions of Ea. Too great is her beauty to be declared in the words of men or of elves, for the light of Ilúvatar lives still in her face. In light is her power and her joy. Out of the deeps of Ea she came to the aid of Manwë. For Melkor she knew from before the making of the music, and rejected him, and he hated her, and feared her more than all others whom Eru made. Manwë and Varda are seldom parted, and they remain in Valinor. Their halls are above the everlasting snow, upon Oyulasa, the uttermost tower of Taniquetil, tallest of all the mountains upon earth. When Manwë there ascends his throne and looks forth, if Vardar is beside him, he sees further than all other eyes, through mist and through darkness, and over the leagues of the sea. And if Manwë is with her, Vardar hears more clearly than all other ears the sound of voices that cry from east to west, from the hills and the valleys, and from the dark places that Melkor has made upon earth. Of all the great ones who dwell in this world, the elves hold Varda most in reverence and love. Elbereth they name her, and they call upon her name out of the shadows of Middle-earth, and uplift it in song at the rising of the stars. Ulmo is the lord of waters. He is alone. He dwells nowhere long, but moves as he will in all the deep waters about the earth or under the earth. He is next in might to Manwë, and before Valinor was made, he was closest to him in friendship. But thereafter he went seldom to the councils of the Valar, unless great matters were in debate. For he kept all Arda in thought, and he has no need of any resting place. Moreover, he does not love to walk upon land, and will seldom clothe himself in a body after the manner of his peers. If the children of Eru beheld him, they were filled with a great dread, for the arising of the king of the sea was terrible as a mounting wave that strides to the land, with dark helm foam-crested and raiment of mail shimmering from silver down into shadows of green. The trumpets of Manwë are loud, but Ulmo's voice is deep as the deeps of the ocean, which he only has seen. Nonetheless, Ulmo loves both elves and men, and never abandoned them, not even when they lay under the wrath of the Valar. At times he will come unseen to the shores of Middle-earth, or pass far inland up firths of the sea, and there make music upon his great horns, the Ulumuri, that are wrought of white shell. And those to whom that music comes hear it ever after in their hearts, and longing for the sea never leaves them again. But mostly, Ulmo speaks to those who dwell in Middle-earth with voices that are heard only as the music of water, for all seas, lakes, rivers, fountains, and springs are in his government, so that the elves say that the spirit of Ulmo runs in all the veins of the world. Thus news comes to Ulmo, even in the deeps, of all the needs and griefs of Arda, which otherwise would be hidden from Manwë. Aule has might little less than Ulmo. His lordship is over all the substances of which Arda is made. In the beginning, he wrought much in fellowship with Manwë and Ulmo, and the fashioning of all lands was his labor. He is a smith and a master of all crafts, and he delights in works of skill, however small, as much as in the mighty building of old. His are the gems that lie deep in the earth, and the gold that is fair in the hand, no less than the walls of the mountains and the basins of the sea. The Noldor learned most of him, and he was ever their friend. Melkor was jealous of him, for Aule was most like himself in thought and in powers, and there was long strife between them, in which Melkor ever marred or undid the works of Aule, and Aule grew weary in repairing the tumults and disorders of Melkor. Both, also, desired to make things of their own that should be new and unthought of by others, and delighted in the praise of their skill. But Aule remained faithful to Eru and submitted all that he did to his will, and he did not envy the works of others, but sought and gave counsel. Whereas Melkor spent his spirit in envy and hate, until at last he could make nothing save in mockery of the thought of others, and all their works he destroyed if he could. The spouse of Aule is Yavanna, the giver of fruits. She is the lover of all things that grow in the earth, and all their countless forms she holds in her mind, from the trees like towers in forests long ago, to the moss upon stones or the small and secret things in the mould. In reverence, Yavanna is next to Varda among the queens of the Valar. In the form of a woman, she is tall and robed in green, but at times she takes other shapes. Some there are who have seen her standing like a tree under heaven, crowned with the sun, and from all its branches there spilled a golden dew upon the barren earth. And it grew green with corn, but the roots of the tree were in the waters of Ulmo, and the winds of Manwë spoke in its leaves. Kementari, Queen of the Earth, she is surnamed in the Eldarin tongue. The Feanturi, masters of spirits, are brethren, and they are called most often Mandos and Lorien. Yet these are rightly the names of the places of their dwelling, and their true names are Namo and Irmo. Namo, the elder, dwells in Mandos, which is westward in Valinor. He is the keeper of the houses of the dead, and the summoner of the spirits of the slain. He forgets nothing, and he knows all things that shall be, save only those that lie still in the freedom of Ilúvatar. He is the doomsman of the Valar, but he pronounces his dooms and his judgments only at the bidding of Manwë. Vaire, the weaver, is his spouse, who weaves all things that have ever been in time into her storied webs, and the halls of Mandos that ever widen as the ages pass are clothed with them. Irmo the younger is the master of visions and dreams. In Lorien are his gardens in the land of the Valar, and they are the fairest of all places in the world, filled with many spirits. Este, the gentle healer of hurts and of weariness, is his spouse. Grey is her raiment, and rest is her gift. She walks not by day, but sleeps upon an island in the tree-shadowed lake of Lorelin. From the fountains of Irmo and Este, all those who dwell in Valinor draw refreshment, and often the Valar come themselves to Lorien, and there find repose and easing of the burden of Arda. Mightier than Este is Nienna, sister of the Feanturi. She dwells alone, she is acquainted with grief, and mourns for every wound that Arda has suffered in the marring of Melkor. So great was her sorrow as the music unfolded, that her song turned to lamentation long before its end, and the sound of mourning was woven into the themes of the world before it began. But she does not weep for herself, and those who hearken to her learn pity and endurance in hope. Her halls are west of west, upon the borders of the world, and she comes seldom to the city of Valimar, where all is glad. She goes rather to the halls of Mandos, which are near to her own, and all those who wait in Mandos cry to her, for she brings strength to the spirit and turns sorrow to wisdom. The windows of her house look outward from the walls of the world. Greatest in strength and deeds of prowess is Tulkas, who is surnamed Astaldo the Valiant. He came last to Arda to aid the Valar in the first battles with Melkor. He delights in wrestling and in contests of strength, and he rides no steed, for he can outrun all things that go on feet, and he is tireless. His hair and beard are golden, and his flesh ruddy. His weapons are his hands. He has little heed for either the past or the future, and is of no avail as a counselor, but is a hardy friend. His spouse is Nessa, the sister of Orome, and she also is lithe and fleet-footed. Deer she loves, and they follow her train whenever she goes in the wild. But she can outrun them, swift as an arrow with the wind in her hair. In dancing she delights, and she dances in Valimar on lawns of never-fading green. Orome is a mighty lord. If he is less strong than Tulkas, he is more dreadful in anger, whereas Tulkas laughs ever in sport or in war, and even in the face of Melkor he laughed in battles before the elves were born. Orome loved the lands of Middle-earth, and he left them unwillingly, and came last to Valinor. And often of old he passed back east over the mountains, and returned with his host to the hills and the plains. He is a hunter of monsters and fell beasts, and he delights in horses and in hounds. And all trees he loves, for which reason he is called Alderaan, and by the Sindar, Tauron, the Lord of Forests. Naha is the name of his horse, white in the sun and shining silver at night. The Valaroma is the name of his great horn, the sound of which is like the upgoing of the sun in scarlet, or the sheer lightning cleaving the clouds. Above all the horns of his host it was heard in the woods that Yavanna brought forth in Valinor. For there Orome would train his folk and his beasts for the pursuit of the evil creatures of Melkor. The spouse of Orome is Vana, the ever-young. She is the younger sister of Yavanna. All flowers spring as she passes, and open if she glances upon them, and all birds sing at her coming. These are the names of the Valar and the Valier, and here is told in brief their likenesses, such as the Eldar beheld them in Aman. But fair and noble as were the forms in which they were manifest to the children of Ilúvatar, they were but a veil upon their beauty and their power. And if little is here said of all that the Eldar once knew, that is as nothing compared with their true being, which goes back into regions and ages far beyond our thought. Among them, 9 were of chief power and reverence. But 1 is removed from their number, and 8 remain. The Arata, the High Ones of Arda. Manwe and Vada, Ulmo. Yavanna and Aule, Mandos, Niena, and Orome. Though Manwe is their king and holds their allegiance under Eru, in majesty they are peers, surpassing beyond compare all others, whether of the Valar and the Maiar, or of any other order that Iluvatar has sent into Ea.